You have blessed us, the ways that you have kept our world turning, the ways that you continue to work out your plan for the world, the ways that you've shown us mercy and grace, the ways that you've given us strength and power. God, we are so grateful. God, we come to you today and we pray that you would overwhelm us by what you've done in our life, and that this year would be marked by our devotion to you in response. God, you have acted marvelously, and Lord, help us to understand that. Help us to know it. Help us to take it in deep and to bet our life on it, God. Lord, we pray that you would speak through your word this morning, and that you would bless us as we start the new year. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome to 2017, right? Some of you just barely made it, right? Just a few minutes from your bed. But we're here. We made it. It's 2017, and I can think of no better way to start the year than worshiping the Lord and setting our hearts right on Him, looking at His Word. My name is Jared Jenkins. I'm the pastor of discipleship and missions here at Risen Life. If you don't know me, if you're here today as a guest, we're glad that you're here. And feel free to worship with us. And so we're continuing in our series on Micah. If you want to open your Bibles to Micah chapter 6 is where we'll be today, on page 779 in one of the black Bibles on the back of a chair if you need one. And I hope you had a good Christmas season. You know, I got the present I wanted. I'm so excited about this because I didn't think I was going to get it. In fact, I didn't even get it on Christmas. I got it the next day, and you know what I got? I got a Nintendo Classic. Oh, yes. I know you guys are all jealous. There's only like 10 in the world, and somehow I found one. It was kind of like the 1980s at my house. I got my brand new Nintendo. My kids are wearing Star Wars jammies. Some of them have on Ninja Turtle jammies. I was like, well, what's going on here? This is, what world am I in? But you know, the way I got my Nintendo Classic was kind of odd, because if you know, they're impossible to find. And I just kept checking my local store, and I happened to walk by, and I was like, you know what? I think I see one in the case there. And the employee, it seems, has hidden the Nintendo Classic behind a Wii, and I saw it. And so his efforts at being deceptive became my blessing. So, I'm very thankful for that God worked that out for me. And so, anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about deception, lying, being out for our own good today in Micah 6, and how God calls us to live in our world as people that are His, that are trying to be His people. And so, you know, Micah has been this book, it's been a mixed message, right? And Micah kind of kicks you in the gut, and then he like helps you back up with a little hope. And so there's this mixed message of judgment and salvation. In fact, we've seen this. You know, the book opens up and he's pouring out judgment on the people. He's prophesying judgment because they're oppressing the poor people in the land. They're stealing land, and the prophets are preaching for money, and they're preaching for food, and they're preaching for notoriety. And Micah is saying that's not right. And yet Micah tells us also that the Lord is going to raise up a remnant of His people. He's going to shepherd them in Micah 2. He tells us in Micah 4 that there's a coming city of God that's going to be ruled by Him in peace, in prosperity, in goodness, in righteousness for His people. In Micah 5, He tells us about this virgin woman who's going to bear a son in Bethlehem, that He's going to bear the ruler of the world that's going to shepherd God's people. And yet in Micah 6, He has one more indictment He's going to deliver against His people. And here's what it is. Here's what Micah has to say to the people of Israel today: that you have rejected my grace towards you. All the love, all the goodness, all the faithfulness I have shown you as my people, you have rejected it. And in fact, you've gone a step further and you've become a wicked, lying, cheating, evil people that's out for your own gain and your own good. And enough is enough. This is kind of like the newly minted 18-year-old that looks at his parents and says, I don't want your ideals. I'm tired of you trying to rule my life. I don't think you've supported me. I want to go out and make my own world. And the parent says, okay, go for it. Go out there and see just how bad my love was. See what it's like to be without my love. They had everything, and yet they regarded it as nothing, a hindrance to life. And so God says, have at it. And so this passage is going to be kind of laid out like a lawsuit. It's as if we're stepping into a courtroom, as if God has this case against his people. And so it has kind of three sections here. Micah 6, 1 through 5, we see the Lord's case against Israel. Okay, and then Micah 6, 6 through 8, it's kind of arguments. Israel responds, and yet God says exactly what he demands of his people, as Kevin read this morning. And then we have a final section, Micah 6, 9 through 12, where there's a sentencing. God is declaring a judgment on Israel for their sins. And this is what Micah is asking us today. This is the core of his message. He's asking us, how are you going to respond to God's love towards you in the new year? How are you going to respond? Will you continue in your own way, or will you become a hopelessly devoted follower of Jesus? That's what Micah has for us today. And so let's dive in and let's look at Micah's case, or the Lord's case against Israel here in Micah 6, 1 through 5. Here's what verse 1 and 2 say. They say, call to the world to hear the Lord's indictment against his people. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. And so here Micah, the Lord is calling Micah to stand up and to speak his indictment against his people Israel before the whole earth. It's as if we're stepping into the courtroom. The Lord is the plaintiff, Israel is the defendant, and the mountains are standing as the witnesses. The mountains, they've been this silent, passive observers to all of Israel's action, both their unfaithfulness and their faithfulness to God at times. And God calls them to witness. And I think this is great imagery for us. Here in Salt Lake, just yesterday, I was driving and the inversion kind of parted. I don't know if that's a spiritual experience or not, but it parted, and I saw Mount Olympus, and I was just reminded of how grand and awesome the mountains are. And it's as if these mountains sit around our city and they just silently peer in on our lives, looking at our faithfulness, our faithlessness. And God is calling them one day to be a witness for or against us. Have you lived for the Lord or not? And here's God's indictment of Israel in Micah 6, 3 and 5. He's going to say, Israel, I have been only gracious, loving, good, faithful to you as my people, and yet you have never responded to my love. Here's what he says. Look at verse 3. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, his wife. Oh, my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him and what happened from Shittaim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. See, the people, they thought they had a case against God. that they were the ones suffering under his punishment. They were hearing about all of this judgment. They were seeing the nations come against northern Israel. And they're saying, God, you're treating us bad. They had heard the rumors of wars and possibly their own destruction, and they're crying foul against God, as if God had turned their backs on him. As if he was a capricious God, a fickle God like the gods of the nations, who became angered at the most trivial things and needed to be appeased. And yet Micah is saying, God is saying all along, it's the people that have not walked in God's ways. They have not responded to God's faithfulness. They have not responded to his love with lives of devotion. They have not fulfilled their covenant that they made with God. They had not become his special people to show the world what he's like. And so God flips the charge of unfaithfulness on Israel. God says, you think you have a case against me? Let me show you the case I have against you. And that's when we get this indictment. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. And then God proceeds to recite his gracious love and faithfulness toward Israel. Look at 6:4 again. God says, I brought you up out of slavery from Egypt. I don't think we often grasp the magnitude of what God did there. It's like if we looked at the Syrians today that are grappled in war and they're being oppressed, it's as if God reached in and would grab them, march them out of Syria to somewhere else, clear the people out of that country, and give them all of those people's houses, their vineyards, their fields, and then say, now all I need you to do is love me. They would pass from death to life, much like our own experience of following Christ, going from the death of our sin into life with him. And then God says, not only did I do that for you, I gave you good leaders. Moses, Aaron, his wife. This is in contrast to the leaders Micah has been denouncing throughout this book that are out for their own gain. They're out to get rich. They're out to be fed. They're out to look cool. He's saying, I gave you Moses, the most humble man on the earth. I gave you Aaron, who interceded for you as the high priest. I gave you Miriam, who would lead the people in worship and prophesy for them. These were good leaders. Not unlike what God does for the church today. And then Micah 6:5, he cites this incident with Balaam and Balak, yeah, that occurred in Numbers 22:24. If you know the story, Israel's coming up from Egypt to the promised land, and Balak is the son of the king of Moab, and he wants Balaam, a prophet of that time, to curse Israel. And so three times he asks Balaam to come. He'll pay him, he'll do whatever he wants. Just curse this people so they don't hurt me. And three times Balaam blesses the people because he says, I'm being constrained by the Lord to bless them. And so God has blessed them all along the way. And finally, God asked him to remember when they came into the promised land. He lists these two cities, Shittim and Gilgal, from Joshua 4. That's the last city before you come into the promised land and the first city. God saying, I brought you all the way here. And in fact, as they cross the Jordan, the Jordan parted like the Red Sea again. They take stones out of the Jordan and they build an altar in Gilgal just to remember what God did. And God is saying, I have brought you all the way. God is begging the question. God is rehearsing all the ways he's been faithful, all the ways he's saved Israel, all the ways that he has been gracious, and they have no room to talk. God has been completely faithful, and they have been faithless. And so maybe 2016 has not been a good year for you. Maybe you have accused God of not being on your side. Maybe you're angry with him because you feel like he's made your life difficult. I've been there. Maybe you've questioned all that we see going on in our world. You feel like you have a case against God. God, why are these things happening to me? Why are all these things going on in our world? Where are you, God? But Micah reminds us of the fact that God has been faithful. And he asks us to examine our lives and to see if by chance over the last year, has it been us that's taken a step back from God? Have you been faithful to pursue Christ in 2016? Or have you turned your back on him? Have you placed your desires over his desires and then wonder why he's not there? So often we have when we have a problem with God, the prophets point to us and say the problem may lie in our own hearts. And it's not that all of these bad things in life will disappear when we pursue Christ. That's not what I'm saying at all. But instead, if we get to be in a relationship with a loving, faithful God that has promised to us, whatever comes our way, he'll use it to transform us into the image of Christ. We think we have a case against God, but instead he says, consider your own faithfulness. Remember how I saved you. Remember how I was there for you. Put down your defenses. Come back towards me. In fact, this is one of the main calls that we're going to see in Deuteronomy. God always says, remember what I did for you. As the generations go, pass it down to the next generation and say, remember what God did for us so that you won't forget. You'll remember his faithfulness. And when things get cloudy and inverted, you'll remember his faithfulness. Many are talking about how bad 2016 is. I think that's not any secret. But I was reading a really interesting article on NPR this week that said maybe 2016 isn't as bad as we think it is, right? And it was listing all of these good things, right? I was listening. The economy is doing better. Most of us have more money in our pocket than we did 5 years ago, right? I mean, it just went on and on about these things, and it said a really good thing. It said, you know, a little bit of your view on 2016 is what voice you're listening to. And in our world of customized news and social media that we construct with things we like and people we like, we only get part of the story. We're only getting the one part that we want to look at, and that's not the whole picture. And that's what God is telling the people of Israel right here. You're not getting the story right. You're not looking at the whole picture. You need to read the news right. God has been faithful to you, and you have been faithless. And so let me urge you to start this year. Remember what Jesus has done for us. Remember all of what God has done through history to bring us salvation and give us a hope in the future. Listen, God's faithful deeds could continue beyond Micah 6, 3 through 5. God would go on to redeem his people. He would take them into exile. He would bring them back. He would give them a new temple. He would reorganize the nation. He would give them more prophets and teachers and leaders. And then he would bring forth his son, Jesus, fulfilling Micah 5, to be born into the world, God born in human flesh, who would live the perfect life for us, die for us, so that we could be right with God if we give him our life. And then he goes and sits at the right hand of the Father and says, now the whole world is in my control. It will be for your benefit. God has done great and mighty things for us. Let us not forget what he's done. And let us start the year by remembering. And the question again, Micah is asking, how are you going to respond to Christ's love to you? Maybe you need to do that for the first time. Maybe 2017 is the year you need to give your life to Christ. Maybe you've never done that before. It's as simple as confessing Him as Lord, saying, God, I'm sorry for the ways that I have lived. Please forgive me. I want to accept Your righteousness on my behalf and help me to walk in Your ways. Maybe you have taken a step back from Him this year and you said, God, where are You? And Jesus said, come back. Take a step back towards me. Remember how I've been faithful and walk with me and I will show you how I will continue to be faithful. God wants us to respond to Him this year. He says, come, follow me. And I think it's interesting to see that in the final judgment, those who thought they had a complaint against God will find out too late that they had no case. God has been faithful to His people. He has been gracious, loving, good, and He wants us to respond to Him by giving us His life, giving Him our life. That starts by remembering His deeds. Now let's look at Israel's response here to God's case in Micah 6, 6 and 8. And then we're going to see a little more of what it means to live a life devoted to Jesus. So here's the response. Micah 6, 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings and with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? I want you to see all these questions are demanding of God. What do You want from me? What do You want from me, God? For Israel is the question, what do I need to do to relent, to get You to relent from the judgment You're saying You're going to pour out on us? What do I need to do to appease You, God? We'll bring You burnt offerings. We'll bring You whatever You want. Calves a year old that we've poured life into for a year. We'll bring You 10,000 rams. We'll bring You tons of rivers of oil. Just let it flow. What do You want, God? I'll even sacrifice my children. And so often we ask God the same question. What do You want from me, God? Maybe you've asked yourself that. What do I have to do so that You'll make my life easy, happy, pain-free? What do I have to do to keep You off my back and out of my life? Whatever You want, I'll do it. Just make these things change in my life. Make these circumstances go away. But Israel was responding with a religious mindset. And even worse, I would say an idolatrous mindset. These activities are the stuff that make up idol worship, right? Even we see that some of the kings of Israel had offered their sons to idols. And idol worship, it seeks to appease, right? It's a formula. It's trying to do something to make God do something for you. And that's not the gospel. God says that's not how it works. I don't desire any stuff like that. I've done all the work. In fact, I've forgiven all your sins in Christ. I want you to accept my gift of salvation, and then I want you to live a life of thankfulness that reflects me. In fact, Psalm 51, 16 and 17 says, for You will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, You will not despise. God does not want empty religious acts. He doesn't want you to go to church more in 2017. Rather, He wants a life lived from the heart that has been transformed by His grace. He wants a heartfelt response to His love, and that can be done in church. Then look at Micah 6:8. He gives us explicitly what He wants here. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Micah starts off by saying, look, God's already told you what He wants of you. He's told you what you need to do to live in harmony with Him. In fact, almost 700 years previous, the people had heard the message of what to do as they stood on the shores of the Jordan. Moses proclaimed to them this very message. This is what you need to do to live with your God. God wants you to love Him, to follow His commandments, and reflect His love to the world. Look at, turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy is a great book, and I'd highly encourage you to read the whole thing. And it's really a sermon from Moses, okay, standing on the banks of the Jordan, is about to go in. And I think Micah here is referring to one of the high points of Moses' sermons, one of the key points, one of the heart of his message, as he's encouraging the people to walk with God as you go into this new land. I'm not going to be with you, but you walk with God. And here's what he says in chapter 10. Starting in verse 12, he says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, and to keep His commandments and statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet the Lord set His heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are this today. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn, for the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God who is not partial and does not take a bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow. He loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve Him and hold fast to Him. And by His name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God who has done these great and terrifying things before your eyes. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 persons, and now the Lord God has made you as numerous as the stars." God in 2017 is saying, if you are with me, you love me from the heart, you serve me from the heart, you keep my commandments, and you pour out my love on the rest of the world, and particularly those in need. That's what God wants of us. And Micah gives this in the three particulars that summarize what we just read. Number one, do justice. We've already seen this, what justice is, in Micah 3, 1 through 2. He accused the leaders of Israel of not doing justice. Instead, they hated the good and loved evil. Okay, they were defrauding, stealing, cheating. And God says, instead, my people are to practice justice. And that's loving good, straying from evil, standing up for what's right. And not just what we think is right or fair, but what God has said is right. Justice must appeal to a standard, and it is God's standard. Goodness that reflects the very character of God in the world. 2016, it's been a shining example of rampant injustice that permeates our world. At every turn, political injustice, racial injustice, economic injustice, social injustice, and God says, you, my people, are to do justice because you know me. And you know what justice is. And practicing justice or doing what is right is as simple as not cheating on your price match at Walmart. It's as simple as picking up your trash in the public restroom. It's as complicated as fighting for the protection of Syrian refugees. Standing up for the rights of aborted babies, fighting for racial equality. It is everything, doing things right because we know what right is in the form of God. And this year, I want you to dream with us as a church. We've been talking about, we want to take on several places of action where we can do more of this. where we can stand for what's right and be a force for good in our city and around the world. And we want you to dream with us. What can we do? What has God gifted us to do to bring justice to our world? We have many talents, and God wants us to meet the needs around the world desperately. Not because it's a good thing to do, but because it shows the world what he's like. To preach the gospel to the world. And the only way we do that by focusing on what Jesus has done for us. Remembering what he has done for us and in turn doing it for others. So where is God calling you to make a difference? With everything we do, we start by being faithful in the little things and we move to the greater things. You have to be faithful to do things rightly in your personal life if you ever want to do things rightly for the world. Look at the second thing God requires here. He calls us to love kindness. Now, this sounds simple and mushy, I think. Yeah, just love kindness. Be kind, right? God wants you to be kind. And like Kevin mentioned a couple weeks ago, where the one church gave everybody a puppy and just said, go home and love this puppy, right? That's kind of what we think of when we think of kindness. Just pet the puppy and everybody's nice. But this is not the kindness that God is talking about, okay? That's part of it, but it's not the kind he's talking about. It's so much more than this, okay? This Hebrew word here is the word hesed. Some of you may have heard it before. And your ESV translates it kindness. But it's such a larger concept. It's like the word shalom. If you know how that word encompasses so many things, hesed is the same way. Hesed is the word that the Bible uses to describe God's special love for his people. Okay, we see this like in Psalm 31:16. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love or your hesed. Hesed's often translated steadfast love, kindness, mercy, loving kindness. And when God demands that we love hesed, he's asking us to love others and him in the same way that he loved us. It's much more than petting puppies. Because you have experienced the love of God in Christ, God demands that you reflect that love to others. That's loving hesed. Our doing of kindness is done out of a faithfulness to our commitment to God. 1 John 4:10 encapsulates this. It says, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. He's saying, go and love in the way you've been loved. God wants you and me as followers of Jesus to love others in 2017 just as he loved you. And then look at the final one here. He says, to walk humbly with your God. This is to live in submission to God. This is to agree with him that his laws are right. This is to work on holiness in your life. This is to submit your will to his. You know, we see in our world a lot of times, we hear this call to do good, but we disconnect it from this call to live rightly with God. In fact, we see this in James 1:27. We hear this all the time. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. If we're going to do right justice, we're going to love people rightly, it's more than just this touchy-feeling thing. It's walking with God. And walking with God is how we know what it means to do justice and kindness. We can't separate the two. If we do justice and kindness and yet we live a life of sin, then we're not doing justice and kindness. Because when you sin, you're oppressing neighbors and friends and you're hurting people. And God says that is not how it goes. These things are tied together. And so God asks for justice and kindness done in the context of a life lived with him. Because that's where we know what true justice and kindness is. So God says to you and me as his people in 2017, you do justice. And you do what's right in the broken world because you know who I am. Now, Israel has not done justice. They have not loved kindness. And they certainly have not walked humbly with their God. They have oppressed the poor. They have walked in arrogance, pridefully trumpeting their own wealth. And God's going to call them out on their sin here in the last section of Micah 6. So look at Micah 6, 9 through 16. Here's what it says. The voice of the Lord cries to the city, and it's sound wisdom to fear your name. Hear of the rod and of him who appointed it. Can I forget any longer the treasures of wickedness in the house of wickedness? In the scant measure that is accursed, shall I acquit the man with wicked scales and with a bag of deceitful weights? Your rich men are full of violence. Your inhabitants speak lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore I strike you with a grievous blow, making you desolate because of your sins. You shall eat and not be satisfied, and there shall be hunger within you. You shall put away but not preserve, and what you preserve I will give to the sword. You shall sow but not reap. You shall tread olives but not anoint yourselves with oil. You shall tread grapes but not drink wine, for you have kept the statutes of Omri and all the works of the house of Ahab, and you have walked in their counsels, that I may make you a desolation and your inhabitants a hissing. So shall you bear the scorn of my people. This last section breaks up easily into two parts. In the first part, God calls out what they've done. He calls out their sin and said, you guys are lying, cheating, you're oppressing people. And secondly, in the second half, he says, and here's the judgment. Here's what you get. God will not put up with their hoarding of treasures through oppressive means. He will not put up with their devious business practices. He will not put up with their violent and lying man. God is pouring out his justice as he sweeps away all the deceitful and oppressive behavior. And I think this speaks to us in 2017 as a people that loves treasures, a people that loves money, a people that loves creative accounting even. God says, this is not how my people should act. He says, let's be about not hoarding stuff this year. Let's be into giving everything. Rather, let's pour our lives into the service of Christ. Let us respond to him in love and give as he has given to us. The question for us this year should not be, what can I get? But what can I give in response to Christ? Oh, how he has loved me. And furthermore, this indictment of corruption should give us hope. God sees what's going on in our world, and he will call it to an account. And what we see God doing is, as the people oppressed, they stole from people, God is going to steal from them. He's committed their works to futility. As they plant, they don't reap. As they press the olives, they don't get oil. Even on verse 14, it could be interpreted, as they have children, God's going to kill them. They put in all the work and they get nothing, just as they took everything and put in none of the work. God is repaying their evil with evil. And so often we get caught up in doing, trying to build our kingdoms, get more and more. And God is saying in 2017, instead of building your own kingdoms that don't last, let's pour into God's endeavors that have lasting fruit, things that aren't futile. The bigger house is not worth it. The car is not worth it. God says, I'm worth it, and I give you eternal value. So what endeavors do you need to put down in the year 2017? Which ones are futile? Which ones are you just spinning your wheels on? God says, pick up fruitful endeavors in the gospel. Band, you can come on up. Sean, that is. Our one-man band. Micah 6:16 closes with a promise of desolation and scorn from the surrounding nations. And it's because they've walked away from God. And so they're going to bear the burden. They've walked in the ways of these evil kings, and they're going to be made fun of for God having turned away from them. But take a look back at Micah 6:9. It says, the voice of the Lord cries to the city, and it's sound wisdom to fear your name. Hear the rod and of him who appointed it. As God lays out punishment for Israel, he says, this is wisdom. Okay, this is, I still love you as my people. It's wisdom to fear me and hear what I'm saying. But God has a point. He says, my punishment, my dealing out for your sin is so that you would be wise and turn to me and begin living as my people. That you would remember my faithfulness, my grace, my love. And so Micah 6 is asking us, how are you going to respond to God's love in the new year? Will you continue in your own way, or will you become devoted to Christ, hopelessly devoted to Christ? It's been a rough year for some people. Do you think you have a case against God? God asks to consider his faithfulness, his grace, his love, his goodness, and come back to him. In response, he wants us to live a life that reflects his love to us. Do justice as he has done justice to us. Do kindness. Pour out love as he has loved us. Walk humbly with him. Learn what it means to be his people by following his statutes and rules. How are you going to live a life in response to him this year? It starts by remembering what he's done to us, done for us. Where is he called out you to live your commitment to him? Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for you are truly faithful to us. You love us so desperately. For thousands of years, you've been working out a plan to bring us back to yourself. God, help us to see your love, your grace, your kindness for what it is in the person of Christ. Sins forgiven, paid for on the cross, hope of new life. Help us to walk with you. Help us to share that love with the world, God. May we put down our pursuits, our own desires, our will, and take up yours. We pray all this in the name of Christ. Amen.